Good morning. My name is Joe, and I am an alcoholic and a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. With me today is Era, who is also a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is People Helping People. I'd like to thank WHLL 1450 AM for allowing us the opportunity to share something about our alcoholism and the solution we have found in Alcoholics Anonymous. The opinions expressed here this morning are solely those of the individuals who express them, and not those of WHLL 1450 AM or of Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. People Helping People is focused on how A can provide help to men and women who have a problem with drinking. Alcoholics can be helped to stop drinking by other alcoholics who have achieved sobriety and who gladly share it. Like the people here today, one alcoholic helping another is the basic premise of the fellowship of AA. Well, over 2.9 million people in over 150 countries follow the AA recovery program. Here in Western Massachusetts, we have over 400 AA meetings a week, with approximately 6,000 members staying away from a drink one day at a time. Alcoholism is recognized by the American Medical Association and the American Psychiatric Association as a disease. It is a progressive illness that can never be cured, but like some diseases, can be arrested. We feel that this disease is a combination of a physical sensitivity to alcohol coupled with a mental obsession. The best short description of what AA is and how it works that I know is what we call the preamble. I'll read it to you now. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Now, I would like to introduce my guest, Era, who will briefly tell us what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And after that, we'll provide some information about how and where to get help. Era.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Era, and I'm a grateful alcoholic in recovery. My sobriety date is November 12, 2001, which means I just celebrated 18 years sober and free from alcohol. I will share in a general way what it was like, what happened, and how it is today. I would consider myself a late bloomer since my alcoholism actually didn't officially take off till my mid-30s into my 40s. But I did have my first drink at the age of 12. It was a rum and coke. Went down my esophagus, feeling nice and warm. And of course, I got deathly ill afterwards. I wouldn't try any more alcohol until maybe my high school years. I believe maybe at my prom. And then in college, I was dedicated to working on my degree at the time, and by then I had one daughter, and in 92 I graduated college, gave birth, and started my first official job in my career of choice. I remained in Puerto Rico for about 2 years, and thereafter in 84, I relocated to Miami, Florida. And that's where my disease actually took off. Unbeknownst to me, of course, that I had the disease of alcoholism. I land in Florida without my kids. I'm divorced by this time. I'm very grateful to my mother for her support and guidance through those years. There I was, employed and alone, on my way to discover the bars and the dance lounges, the beaches, and become very familiar with particular bars and dance halls where my disease, again, unbeknownst to me, progressed. I'm a light drinker, actually, considering I can take 2 drinks and I'm gone and out. So maybe in those days I would be considered a cheap date. But that being said, I did drink, I guess, for effect, and it really impacted me. I have one recollection of being so intoxicated, and maybe who knows if it was actual alcohol poisoning, that I got off the stool, made my way to the bathroom, and started hugging that porcelain pole that they talk about. Oh, I'm sorry, bowl. The toilet seat. What an experience. There were women coming in and out. A couple of them did check on me to ensure that it was okay. And eventually, at some point in time, not even sure how long I was sitting there on the floor hugging the bowl, eventually got up and made it home. When I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I wasn't even sure if I ever drank under, or drove rather, under the influence. And now I know that many a times, leaving those bars and those dance halls, I made it home safely by God's grace, and I was under the influence. So that being said, you know, life progressed. Along the way, my disease also progressed. And any partner that I chose during the course of my progression also drank, and I guess they also dabbed in other mind-altering substances. So, in late 97, I met a gentleman from Ecuador who grew up in New York. We hooked up. We had a relatively stable environment and relationship. But that being said, he suffered also, but I didn't know. He did share that with me, and I thought that maybe I could fix him. Of course, totally clueless to the disease of alcoholism. Eventually, that relationship broke up. I met another gentleman. We went away to Mexico, traveling with mind-altering substances that would we have been caught, we would have been arrested, and who knows what would have happened. We come back, buy a condo, move in together, and life is dandy. But in September of 98, I turn 40, and my disease takes off like no tomorrow. And I'm unaware of how progressively sick I was becoming. By December of 98, I was sitting on my bedside, ready to go to work, but also contemplating suicide. I made a phone call, and I made my first rehab in Delray Beach, Florida. Co-ed, I had great health insurance. They covered the 37 days that I was there. Shortly thereafter, you know, I was discharged, and I had been exposed to Alcoholics Anonymous. I had heard that it was a threefold disease, mental, spiritual, and physical, and that there was a solution within Alcoholics Anonymous. Eventually, my disease convinces me, that's how powerful it was, or so I thought, to resign and leave my career of nearly 15 years, which I did. 1999, I was in and out of detoxes and outpatient clinics and just wreaking havoc, not only on myself, but my children and my significant other at the time, who stood by my side until he saw that it was a progressive disease and there was nothing more that he could do for me. Sometime in 2000, I came back into the fellowship, did what I needed to do, but I don't know, you might hear about what they call a reservation, which apparently I did have. In May of 2001, my daughter married, and shortly thereafter, I picked up alcohol and went on a tear, as you all might hear it, in the rooms for about 4 months. And I knew then that it was evident that the disease does progress. And then I found myself homeless because I was being evicted from my apartment because I wasn't doing the responsible thing, and not knowing where to go. My sister took me in, and then December of 2001, I moved to Massachusetts to support my daughter, who was giving birth to my first grandchild. Shortly thereafter, I found the halls of Alcoholics Anonymous in Springfield, Massachusetts. Eventually got myself a sponsor, was introduced to step work, and became active in service, joining home groups along the way, being active with the groups, being active at the committee level, and then at the convention level. I just recently relocated back to the Springfield area after being away for about 12 years, living in Eastern Mass. And while away, you know, it did dawn on me, maybe if I drink just one. But I knew that that would be a lie to myself. So just like I did in Springfield, I also found a sponsor, home group, and became active. Now being back, I do have a home group. I do have a long-distance sponsor, which is not really recommended. And I try to stay active within that group. I'm truly grateful to be sober today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Ara. You know, that was a good general description of your journey in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I've traveled that same road, you know. Came out here to get sober through treatment and ended up staying in Western Mass. You know, originally coming out of Dorchester, Mattapan area from the eastern side of the state. But you mentioned a couple of things. One was a sponsor, you know, and if you can give a brief description of what is a sponsor and why is it important to have one?
Early on, it was suggested to have a sponsor, and a sponsor is a person who has, so they say, 5 or more years of sobriety. And who has worked the program with the guidance of their sponsor. So it's an individual that you will sort of eye out in the fellowship, listen to their experience, strength, and hope, and how they carry not only their message but themselves, not only in the fellowship but also outside, and someone that you can trust and believe in and that will have your back. Not necessarily signing off your stuff, but who will be strong enough to support you and guide you to make the right decisions when we start living life without alcohol. Because when we consume alcohol, our mindset and thinking is skewed and changes, and sometimes we make bad choices and bad decisions while under the influence. So sponsorship is very, very important.
Another thing you mentioned was the home group. You know, can you elaborate on the home group and why is it important to have one?
So a home group is a particular group within the AA fellowship, depending on what town you live or if you choose to join a group outside your town, because we all think that no one knows that we're alcoholics, but people know. So that being said, I belong to the Randall Group, which is in Longmeadow, but I reside in Springfield. This is a group that's been around for over 60 years, has a lot of other men and women with strong sobriety who have worked the steps and apply those principles of the program within their livelihood. I can go in there and share where I'm at, how I'm feeling, ask for suggestions on how to manage any type of situation, and feel confident that the suggestions that they provide me will give me the necessary oomph to move forward in taking whatever decision I need to make. You want to be active with that group, maybe make the coffee, maybe be the greeter, maybe become a bookie, which means you would meet up with other representatives from other groups to schedule incoming and outgoing commitments. You would chair, you know, whatever meeting your group offers. You help set up and also take down the hall that you're designated and assigned to. And just be very active with your group members.
Yeah, that's along the lines of what I was told. And they also said that, you know, you might have been homeless out in the street, but you don't want to be homeless in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, that's what, you know, the words that were shared with me at one point. You know, and it kind of resonates because, you know, having a home group for me, you know, it's a group of people in that group that also get to know me and won't co-sign my mess, you know, and I know it works for me, you know. Also, what I want to ask you, does AA cost anything?
Alcoholics Anonymous is free. But there you will see a basket passed around in particular group, and they mention the seventh tradition, which says that each group is autonomous and does not accept outside contributions. So the hope is that people who show up, not only group members, but anybody attending that particular group, will contribute to sustain the group. In other words, you know, there are costs behind maybe making coffee, the supplies that are utilized for that, if they do cookies or bake cakes. Also, there's a contribution to what they call the pie, which is distributing to the other services within Alcoholics Anonymous, like the intergroup and general service office, which is in New York. So that's why it is free, but contributions are always welcome.
Yeah, and we have to be self-supporting, because I know that if we try to get contributions from any outside entity, they will want to put stipulations on that contribution, you know? And so that's why we sustain ourselves. So any outside influences cannot tell us what to do. One last thing I want to ask you. People talk about the steps, you know. What are the steps and why is it important to try to integrate the steps into your life?
So the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which I did not know what it was when I first came in. I thought it was just a big book. But it's actually a book that was put together by the first 100 or so men and women with the guidance of Bob and Bill, who are the founder and co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous in 1935. And it's like a guide, and they're enumerated 1 through 12, and each step has a principle behind it, and each step provides you an outlet to work on yourself. So, for example, step 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. Well, for me, I knew eventually that I was truly powerless over alcohol. It was evident that the decisions that we were making were being influenced by my consumption, and my life was becoming unmanageable. I became a liar, a cheater, and a thief. So if I acknowledge, first and foremost, that I am alcoholic, there's a solution within Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a program. A lot of people use that word when they're talking about the steps. They're in order for a reason. And with the guidance of a sponsor, as mentioned earlier, you want to be taken through that process to be able to work on yourself from the inside out And the more thorough and honest that you are with this process, the better you're going to feel and the better you're going to become.
All right. Thank you, Ara. Okay. I would like to thank WHLL 1450 AM again and my speaker, Ara, for being here. Before we go, I would like to make the audience aware of 2A committees that are available to the general public and to the professional community. They are the Public Information Committee and the Committee for the Cooperation with Professional Community. For more information, please call our Western Mass Intergroup at 413-532-2111 or write to them at Western Mass, Massachusetts Intergroup, 474 Pleasant Street, Holyoke, Massachusetts, 01040. We can also be found in your local telephone directory or online at westernmassaa.org. If you or someone you know is experiencing difficulty accessing an AA meeting, please contact our Accessibility Committee at 413-378-3752. For more information regarding Al-Anon or Alateen, please call 413-782-3406. These are both 24-hour open lines. Thank you for listening, and please remember, you don't have to stop drinking alone.
Thank you.